I couldn't help but reflect back on my own experiences with the Lord's Supper as a child. First, it was called the Lord's Supper, not communion. I never really knew why when my friends from other churches said communion, and I asked my mother once, and she shut me down immediately. I couldn't figure it out, except that I think they thought communion sounded too Catholic. But as an adult, then I learned that, you know, if you really wanted to be Catholic, you said the Eucharist. So, I don't know what the deal was, but my Southern Baptist church had the Lord's Supper. It was only allowed once you had been baptized in a Baptist church by immersion. That was the rule, and everyone knew it. So I very much remember the first time that I had the Lord's Supper. It was quite a while after my baptism, and I had just been waiting for it because I finally got to participate. And I had built it up in my mind about this. It was just this major, important thing. After all these years of watching, I got to be a part of the process. So I remember sitting between my mom and dad and those big silver trays come passing by. And I took that little chiclet-like cracker in my hand. And the preacher said some words and said a prayer, and then I put that cracker in my mouth. It was so dry and tasteless. And then the big tray of the juice came by, and I took my little cup. It was a little bitty cup. And again, the pastor said the words and prayed a prayer, and we drank that little cup, and it was barely even enough to get that dry cracker down. But then, the thing that I loved so much, I got to participate in, that sound of everybody putting their little cup in the wooden tray in the front of the pew. You all know what I mean, don't you? We all have that memory. Isn't it funny that it can be so memorable for me? I hope it was for you also. I don't really remember being weirded out by communion. But through the years, children and adults, I've heard so many confusing things that really bothered people. The thought of eating the body of Christ or drinking the blood of Christ, I guess it really is a lot to take in. I remember we had youth who came to our church for youth gatherings, and we would have major discussions about some of my friends from the Episcopal Church and the Catholic Church really believed that that cracker and that juice had turned into the real body and blood of Christ. I do remember thinking that it was such a big deal and such a serious, important event. And I also remember that my first experience being a little anticlimactic. But I still to this day look forward to communion. When I was serving at a church many, many years later, a woman came up to me after communion one Sunday, and she said, Cheryl, there's a couple of girls in the balcony, and they're taking communion, and I know that they have not been baptized yet. So I think you need to talk to them. And I explained that we allowed anyone who wanted to take communion to take it, and for children, it's a parental choice, And so their parents get to deal with that. And she said, well, they are just having too much fun with it. So the next month, when we took communion, I watched up in the balcony to see what she meant when these two little girls were having too much fun. And sure enough, when the cup passed and they each had their two little cups, they turned to each other and they said, cheers. And they drank the cup. It was all I could do to not laugh. I thought about that today as this scripture is really talking about this table that we come to every month and what it means. I wish sometimes we could enjoy all that it means, like these two little girls who in their mind it was a special time and everyone should be happy. It is a wonderful thing, isn't it? The disciples couldn't really understand what this all meant. Rather than trusting Jesus, rather than being willing to say, okay, this is possibly going to be a little more difficult than we thought. And instead of saying, we're going to follow you no matter what, many of those disciples said, I'm out. I'm walking away. I don't want to go through this. Well, it would be easy to write those disciples off and say, well, they just were fair weather followers, weren't they? Or they were lazy. They just didn't want any kind of trouble. I think before I do that, I need to think about myself a little bit. These people were called disciples by the writer of John, not just people in a crowd. These were disciples that had given up a lot to follow. And things just aren't clear and they can't see down the road, so they just give up and walk away. Are we really any different from them? Who hasn't at different times in their lives, at some of the darkest or loneliest or difficult times, had doubt? Times when we say, God, if you're there, why? Why? Or maybe you just ask yourself, am I crazy for believing all of this? Or maybe you don't question, you just get involved in other things and you find that it's getting further and further between times when you talk to God. Or maybe you get caught up in life and you drift away from reading the Bible. Or maybe life is busy and you just can't volunteer to help out much anymore. Or you walk past the people in the street and you just don't even see them anymore. Or maybe you find it harder and harder to get up on a Sunday morning and head to church. While the picture the writer of John draws for us in today's gospel isn't necessarily a pretty picture, it's probably pretty realistic, isn't it? Realistic of the disciples then, and realistic of us now, for those whom the life of faith has become difficult. But at the same time, it's also a picture of belief, a picture of courage, a picture of faith. For as the writer writes, after many disciples drew back and no longer followed him, Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? you have the words of eternal life. While it appears that the 12 have figured out what the others couldn't, and therefore they're willing to stay, I'm not sure they understood what Jesus was saying any more than we do today, or any more than the ones who walked away. But what they did know is where they needed to look. And that was, they needed to look at Jesus. They needed to keep their eyes focused on Jesus. And by doing that, all the rest of the world would fall into place. I truly believe that's what's so important about the church, especially in our world today. The church is where we come week after week to encounter Jesus through the sacraments of communion and baptism, through the love and concern of believers, just like handing a friend the helmet when it's fallen off. We come to experience God through the spoken word, through music, through our small group times, through each other. I really love that we could talk about the bread and the cup this morning without really serving communion. We can look forward to this sacrament for just a little time. While there are so many ways to remember the words that Jesus taught us about communion, churches all around the globe practice the Eucharist or communion or the Lord's Supper in so many different ways. Did you know that some churches order these little pre-packaged things that have the juice and the cup and the little wafer all packaged in a little cup, and they just pass them out and you open them up and take it? I'm not making that up. I've taken it that way. For us, Brenda Nelson goes every Saturday before communion. She gets this beautifully baked bread and she brings it on Sunday for us to set a beautiful table. And for some people, they pass those big old silver trays, which we still have, and we do every now and then, but we choose for you to come forward, because to me, coming and opening your hands and letting someone serve you means you're accepting the gift that Jesus talked about. You allow yourself to be served that precious meal of remembrance. We allow anyone to come to this table because we believe that Jesus turned no one away. We join together to remember the fact that Jesus taught us through him all things will be right. Isn't that an amazing thing to remember? We don't have to understand. We don't always have to be 100%. But if we can keep our eyes focused on Jesus, then we have the sustaining bread of life that carries us through the roughest of roads and celebrates with us during the happiest of times. May we focus ourselves. May we look forward to the celebration of Christ. When we come together next week, may we be ready to celebrate the communion with one another, the communion with Christ. Amen.